Kiana, if you don't mind reading the excerpt, and then we'll ask Dr. James to read one and we'll move on.
I'm in the chapter that is entitled, "You Cannot Reform the Police in a Police State." And this is something that I'm very passionate about. So I was excited when I saw that this has an entire chapter dedicated to it.
What chapter is that, by the way?
"You Cannot Reform the Police in a Police State." And this is about anti-fascist organizing and community control of police. The chapter starts with the quote, "Black power means the ability to exert a political consequence on the white supremacist construct that is America." The chapter starts with Kalonji asking, "For the past decade or so, you've been talking about decentralizing police, community control of public safety, a class action lawsuit against the police, and decertifying these unions." Kalonji goes on to say, "Why do you feel it hasn't taken hold? And what are the main issues right now that folks are dealing with, particularly here in Atlanta, with the whole Cop City issue?" And Zaruba's answer is, "Historically, when the Black Panther Party called for a united front against fascism in 1969, we used the word fascism in the united front. The reason why we use the word fascism is because we understood at that particular time in 1969 to 1971, the pushback against the so-called civil rights movement in the South that had achieved voting rights and desegregated schools was at its core white supremacist, imperialist, and genocidal at home and abroad. You had the Vietnam War and Black soldiers coming home who felt like Geronimo Pratt, that they had to take a stand and fight for something other than Uncle Sam. The right wing, the so-called military-industrial complex, was on its back foot because of the embarrassment of the Vietnam War and the popular resistance to it. The right wing, the so-called political elite, hadn't consolidated their power. They were on their back foot in 1969 and 1970, and then throughout the 70s, when the Black Panther Party called for a unified front, it was to consolidate the peace movement, the anti-war movement, and the Rainbow Coalition with other movements in this country. You've got to remember, at that time, the Republican Party didn't have its so-called radical wing that evolved after this period, the so-called Tea Party. All of these were reactions to the gains of working people. So when we call for this united front, it was at the right time, in the right moment, to delay this consolidation of white supremacy's new political paradigm and manipulation. Today, through the right, it's consolidated, and it's been strengthened by post 9/11 laws that permit law enforcement to do things that would have been declared illegal by the Church Committee when it was investigating COINTELPRO and excess of the U.S. intelligence and police agencies, especially the FBI. We dropped the ball in that sense because the United Front, when we organized it, we had in mind a strategic vision that all of those organizations and individuals that came from all over the country will go back to their individual cities and set up local national committees to combat fascism chapters. In these chapters, they would begin to organize and mobilize people to combat police terrorism and the occupation in our community and put decentralization of police and community control of law enforcement on the ballot. In New York, that's what we did. In other areas, that's what we did. When a movement is encapsulated like it was a few years ago in the wake of George Floyd and the other killings, then the types of slogans and ideas that came out of the encapsulation are designed to make sure that we stay where we're at so that it doesn't work. And this is the part that I found particularly poignant. That's why you had defund the police, the totally asinine, ridiculous idea and notion. Why would you say that and put it out as a slogan? You've got to understand, if we had a genuine movement that had a strategic vision, every slogan we'd use is a slogan designed to express the will of the people and educate the people. That's why we talked about power to the people. And I'll stop there, because that in itself talks a lot about the failure of the movement to defund the police and why it wasn't the best thing to put out there. And especially when you didn't say what you mean or mean what you said. How many times have we heard people, when they say defund the police, they have to go back and explain, oh, we don't mean defund the police as in take all the money away. We mean put the resources toward community and other areas that police shouldn't get that much money. Well, that's stupid. Because if you want to defund the police, you should be able to say defund the police. You got to mean what you say and say what you mean. But you also have to understand that one united front under an anti-fascist umbrella should be a front that uplifts the people at all times, because what we found ourselves doing is chasing our tails, giving too much attention to the very thing that we want to dismantle. We're giving them too much attention when we say defund the police. Now we got to talk about them even more. Now we got to go back and, you know, let everybody know that this isn't really what we mean. Well, why are we even running around saying things that we don't mean in the first place? And I'm really grateful that there is a chapter that is dedicated to helping people understand what community control of law enforcement is in theory and what it should look like in practice, and also helping us understand some of the places where we have misstepped and that have caused us to simply be standing still when it comes to this particular issue.